This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. Bahamoheb Nasser is a member and rapporteur of the expert working group for the ICH Q12 guideline, technical and regulatory considerations for pharmaceutical product lifecycle. Dr. Nasser, who serves as Vice President, CMC Regulatory Strategy for GlaxoSmithKline, also served on the program committee for DIA's 2017 CMC workshop, where he will co-chair the session on the benefits and challenges of ICH Q12 lifecycle management. We are delighted to discuss this guideline and related CMC topics with Dr. Nasser, whom I welcome, and I thank you for joining us today, Dr. Nasser.
My pleasure.
Can you briefly describe the Q12, its goals, the perceived need for this guideline, and the excitement that this guideline is generating in the CMC world?
In order to fully understand and appreciate the potential value of Q12, and if you allow me just to provide a very brief background about why we are developing this guideline. In June 2014, we organized an ICH quality strategy to assess the progress made in the quality vision that was developed at ICH 10 years earlier and to identify gaps that industry and regulators can collaboratively and jointly address. That meeting took place in Minneapolis 2014, and it became clear during the meeting that recent ICH guidelines, namely ICH Q8, Q9, Q10, and Q11, were very helpful in advancing science and risk-based approaches to pharmaceutical development, manufacturing, and regulatory evaluation. With that, there was an expectation that regulatory flexibility, especially for manufacturing changes after approval, would be addressed. We realized in Minneapolis in June 2014 that the focus of the guidelines I mentioned, ICH Q8 to ICH Q11, were mostly on the development phase of the life cycle, and there is a gap that needs to address the commercial phase of the life cycle. Hence, there was an agreement to develop an ICH Q12 to address this gap, and in particular, to develop a roadmap to facilitate the management from the technical, commercial, and regulatory perspective of the life cycle. So that was the origin of the guideline. The guideline is creating considerable interest and excitement, as you indicated in your question, and that's because the regulatory and technical aspects of life cycle management has been and continue to be a major issue for industry and regulators. We are hoping through alignment and agreement on appropriate CMC regulatory tools and technical advances that we can address this issue. We believe that this issue is not only important to industry and regulators, but most importantly to the patient, because managing life cycle better than we do today can address issues such as drug shortages and also will enable industry to introduce new and innovative technologies.
I wanted to ask you as a follow-up, is drug shortage one of the major drivers or areas of focus of this Q12 guideline, or are there any other important life cycle management issues that are addressed by the guideline?
We are not focusing specifically on drug shortage per se, but we believe that if we can facilitate life cycle management, it will have an impact to address drug shortage. So we are not focusing on drug shortage as a key deliverable of the guideline, but improving the life cycle management and enabling implementation of manufacturing changes in a better way will facilitate dealing with issues that are the core cause of drug shortage.
Does Q12 focus primarily on the commercial phase of life cycle management or across both the development and commercial phases?
We are focusing mostly on the commercial phase, especially after launching of the products. But as you know, in order to do that and to do it based on good science, we will have to link it to early phase development to identify what are the key aspects of CMC that need to be managed. And hopefully after ICH Q12 will be managed differently to improve life cycle management.
Can you give us a specific example of an issue that this guideline addresses that is going to make life easier for manufacturers and for regulators?
We recently published ICH Q12 version 7 that's under current internal review by the expert working group. And on ICH Q12 version 7, we identified some of the key aspects of the guideline. The most important one, in my view, is identifying what we consider to be the regulatory commitment or established conditions. Please allow me to elaborate. In ICH and in CMC development and regulatory aspects of CMC, lots of information is being provided by industry to regulators. The majority of this information are intended to be supportive information to illustrate and to show the development phase of the drugs and to justify the proposed control strategy and specification. With quality by design, the level and the details of information increased considerably. Currently, there is lack of clarity about what aspects of information provided to regulators are considered to be a commitment that need to be managed. And when changes are managed, regulatory review is a must. And separating this information from the majority of information which is provided as supporting information. So in ICH Q12, we agreed to a new definition of regulatory commitment that we currently describe as established condition. What are the binding information in the file where regulators need to review changes to prior to implementation by manufacturer? This is a new concept that has not been developed or addressed by ICH before. However, this concept and this approach has been in existence for some time in Japan under what's currently called approved matter. Our colleagues at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration published a draft guideline a couple of years ago on established conditions, and that was intended to facilitate the discussion among EWG members and ICH Q12. So established condition, in my view, is the most important aspect of ICH Q12. Other aspects include harmonized approach to boost approval change management protocols, which are currently used in some region, namely U.S. and Europe, but they are not used in Japan, Canada, and others, and also product-specific lifecycle management strategy to facilitate proactive development of the lifecycle strategy of the product early on rather than focusing on the challenges after launching the product. So these are three, among others, aspects of Q12 that we believe will address the majority of the challenges dealing with CMC lifecycle management and facilitate the process moving forward.
Thank you. You mentioned other countries in the course of this most recent answer, so I wanted to ask you, to what extent have these other countries beyond U.S., Europe, and Japan participated and contributed to these discussions of Q12?
The expert working group, ICH Q12, the expert working group, is the most diverse expert working group that I'm aware of, and I participated in several ICH guidelines in the past. In addition to U.S., Europe, and Japan, who are the founding member of ICH, we have some new members who are currently participating in ICH Q12, namely Health Canada, Swissmedic, Bio, the Biological Trade Association, Korea, Chinese Taipei, Singapore, Brazil, and other observers as well, including consumer health products and so forth. So we have a very diverse expert group, and that's needed because of the value and the potential significance of Q12, and also because Q12 scope is not only for small molecule, but also for biopharmaceuticals, biological products, including vaccines, and will apply to new products as well as currently marketed product.
Having participated in those discussions, then, would it be fair to say that these countries that are not the founding members of ICH are comfortable with the provisions and elements addressed by Q12?
The answer is yes, and they are contributing significantly to the discussion, and the goal is to assure harmonized implementation among all countries who are members of EWG and others who are cautiously and interestingly observing the progress we are making within ICH.
So one could expect that Q12, once it is finalized, would have a broader impact beyond the founding members of ICH.
Absolutely.
And speaking of timing, this year, in the spring and summer of 2017, will there be significant milestones in the work plan for Q12?
First, there will be an ICH Q12 expert working group meeting that will take place the week of April 3rd in Washington, D.C., hosted by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And that interim meeting is intended to review comments received on version 7 and to address the major issues identified by the comments received. As of today, we have received thousands of comments on version 7. We will do our best to address the major comments when we meet in April. The second step after that will be a formal ICH meeting that will take place the last week of May in Montreal, Canada. And the objective of this meeting is to finalize the draft of ICH Q12, or using the ICH process terminology, will be reaching an alignment on step one. And once step one is aligned and agreed to by EWG members, we will provide that to the management committee while they are meeting in Montreal for endorsement. And that endorsement will constitute what we call ICH step 2A that will be agreed to. The regulator will consider and then publish ICH Step 2B for public comments, hoping this will take place late summer, early fall 2017, with the goal of arriving at a final guideline in 2018.
Finally, Dr. Nasser, what do you see as the benefits of implementing Q12 in the context of today's increasing focus on the patient? For example, has patient centricity in drug development and throughout the product life cycle had an impact on CMC and on your thinking on Q12 in the expert working group?
In addition to its potential impact on drug shortage, which I mentioned earlier, as we consider enhanced and accelerated development approaches, such as the breakthrough therapy in the U.S., the CMC information in the dossier need to be developed in abbreviated format at a time in order to bring some very important medicine to the patient waiting for this new medication that are life-saving medications such as oncology drug products. With that happening, and happening more frequently now than ever before, there is a continuous need to enhance, improve, and change many of the CMC and manufacturing information in the original dossier. In order to be able to do that, ICH Q12, with its focus on the commercial phase, especially manufacturing changes post-approval, become a key not only to address these changes, but also to bring some of these critical medicines to the patient in waiting prior to making the changes post-approval. In other words, an accelerated development paradigm, having the ability and the tools to manage manufacturing changes that more likely will take place for this product is a key to bring key medicines to the patient in timely manner.
It seems that what you are describing may reflect a tension between the clinical side of drug development that is aiming to leverage breakthrough therapy designation to accelerate the arrival of a medicine to patients who need it, and the manufacturing side of drug development that may be feeling pressured or perhaps even unable to scale up fast enough to keep up with clinical development. Does that tension exist, and will Q12 help relieve that tension if it does exist?
Yes. Because with the accelerated development program, there is accelerated clinical development, and at times the CMC development is lagging behind this accelerated development, and we need to find the right medium in order to assure that we have quality product at launching, but at the same time assure continuity of supply and having robust manufacturing for the life cycle of the product. So there is a tension that exists now, because CMC is becoming on the critical path where clinical development, especially drugs, can be launched now after not necessarily by going through phase 3 clinical trial, but based on early indication in phase 2 for some key medicines. And we need to find a way to bring the formulation and the medicine to the patient and address whatever lagging post-approval, and ICH Q12 could play a key role to make this happen.
In practice, then, to be able to relieve this tension and ensure that accelerated development does remain accelerated, does Q12 premise any, if you will, relaxation of standards, any compromises, any softening of expectations to be able to align manufacturing and clinical development in the interest of patients?
The answer is no. So the quality standards remain the same. What Q12 is doing differently is providing assurance to regulators that whatever changes will be managed correctly under the fair quality system, and transparency will be maintained or enhanced. The main difference is we will shorten and limit the need for regulatory review of the majority of manufacturing changes. So some manufacturing changes will be subject to the current regulatory process of review and approval prior to implementation. We, in ICHQ-12, were trying to limit that to establish condition that I described earlier. The majority of the changes will be done by the firm, and the regulators will be notified, but we will shorten this phase of the regulatory process. And there is no shortcuts as far as today's standards for all products will not change or lowered by anything.
So are you saying that regulators will have fewer opportunities to review during development? They will have the right opportunities, but perhaps fewer than before under Q12, therefore streamlining the process and maintaining an accelerated timeline?
I can say it differently. I think reviewer will focus more on reviewing the high-risk manufacturing changes and will trust industry managing low-risk manufacturing changes.
Understood. You said it better than I did, for sure. Finally, Dr. Nasser, are there any items around Q12 that I have not asked you about but you would like to offer or comment on?
I look forward to the DIA CMC workshop in April to share the outcome of ICHQ12 interim meeting and to seek feedback and the input from colleagues who will be in attendance.
And we look forward to it as well. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Nasser. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
For DIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.